rather loath to get up because what's on my mind is a little bit different from what we've heard today already. But I'd like to look first, please, at Ezekiel chapter 48. Just for connection. And these are the goings out of the city. On the north side, 4,500 measures. And so on about the city until verse 35. It was round about 18,000 measures. And the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. The name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. That's one of the Jehovah titles, Jehovah Shammah. A lovely statement, isn't it? What a lovely name. The Lord is there. Brother Richard continually tells us a story repeated by Brother Albert Leckie, knocking at the Lonely Croft door one day, hearing voices within but no answer for a while. And finally, an old sister came to the door, and I don't remember the intimate details sufficient to give a rough cast of what was said, that she said she was alone. She says, "Well, are you sure you're alone? Because I heard voices." And her response was to the effect that, "Well, I'm not really alone. The Lord is with me. The Lord is there." I want to look at a number of scenes. There are many, and we couldn't hope to even attempt to encompass them all. I want to look at a number of scenes in which the Lord is there. This city, of course, is Jerusalem. We're looking at a millennial scene. The Lord has been in the city before. Despised and rejected of men. One who came unto his own, and his own received him not. Pilate says, "Behold your king." They said, "We have no king but Caesar." But there's going to come a day, in the words of Psalm 24, when the gates of the city will be lifted up. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, and he shall come in. The city shall be called Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. What a wonderful day that's going to be for Israel as a nation. When the King of Kings sits upon his throne, when he reigns in righteousness. But I want to apply this expression to a number of other situations. Can you turn, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 14. We'll read from verse 18. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, ye in me, and I in you." Isn't that a lovely statement? Here you have one in one. I am in my Father, Did you have many in one? Ye in me. Did you have one in many? I in you. The presence of the risen Christ in relation to the believer. And you'll learn, you'll know, the Lord is there. That's the promise earlier on in the chapter. If you love me and keep my commandments, I, my Father, will make our dwelling place in you. Let me tell you, it's not expected, and it is not true that there is any believer in whom the Father and Son are not dwelling. I think this is a positional thing, because you see, if you don't love the Father, if you don't love the Son, you're not saved. If you don't have a desire to keep His word, it's evident that you're not saved. John is very strong in that kind of thing, and when you come to his epistle, you'll find if you hate your brother, the love of the Father is not in you. It's either light or darkness. It's either life or death. There's no middle path. It's that positional truth of where you are in Christ. And I want to say that you started off your Christian journey indwelling in you is the presence of the risen Christ. The Lord is there. Remember a brother speaking to the West End Assembly one day, he was telling him how his boy wanted to go someplace. And his dad says, are you going alone? Yes. He's a Christian boy. You're sure you're going alone now? Yes. You're not taking anyone with you? No. Are you sure you're not taking anyone with you? No. Does the Lord dwell in you? Can you leave him outside? Can you say goodbye for a moment or to go about your business? The Lord is there. Oh, the joy of knowing the presence, the indwelling presence of the risen Christ. And that's salvation. That's where we start. Oh, I'll never forget the day I was saved. Do you remember it? Come on now. Do you remember the day you were saved? I hope it was the day you were saved. Saved up in a little gospel mission upstairs. Oh, that burden that rolled from my heart that night as the Savior came into my life and into my heart. I knew something of the indwelling Christ. But I want to go on because time is going. Matthew chapter 28, please. We could spend a long time on some of the things around that verse. I just want to touch some things very briefly. Stimulate your exercise. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, or even unto the completion of the age. I am with you all the days unto the completion of the age. I want to think of this as the presence of the risen Christ in relation to our service. Winter is over. Just about, we wouldn't know looking outside, would we? Summer is coming. We anticipate a variety of activities in the summer. In a variety of places. There are plans made in almost every home. Whether it's the young folks for their summer work, or the older folks for their summer vacation, some with gospel meetings, gospel activity, tents and gospel halls, portable halls, door-to-door work, a variety of plans are made for the summer. You know, it'd be nice if the winter in our spiritual life was over. Because we often get into a winter scene, don't we? Times of darkness, times of despondency, times of difficulty. There doesn't seem to be much activity. Sluggish, not moving too quickly, very little done. And then the sun comes and the sun shines, and activity is seen on every hand. The rivers start to flow again. The birds start to sing again. The grass starts to grow and the buds and the flowers appear, and soon activity is seen on every hand. You know, it'd be good to have summer activity in our life. Well, the Lord expects us to be occupied in activity for Him. But His promise is, when you're moving activity for Me, when you go out in the sphere of service for Me, I want to tell you this. Lo, I am with you. I am with you. You see, the Lord is not the general who sends His men out alone to get by at their own resources and come up with their own charges. But He says, I want you to go. But I give you this promise. I'm going to be with you. And John, he points out to the disciples the harvest field. It's white, already unto harvest. Child of God, there's a great harvest field out there. Are you and I reapers for the harvest? Are you and I sowers in the work of God? Well, let me tell you this. To go about your business for God, in your service for Him, His promise is, lo, I am with you. Were we to take time today, we could show you from the Word of God how the Spirit of God exercises a man for the work of God, and how He fits him, and how He provides a field for him, and is with the man in that activity. As the man moves in the garden of God, as we read in Corinthians. Laborers together with God, God's husbandry. And I'm reiterating what comes into my own heart. Sometimes we're doing something for God, and we feel, well, you know, no one else is doing it. I'm the only one doing it. Why bother? Everyone else is falling back. Why should I be the only one? Because the Lord is with you. Because the Lord is with you. You're not the only one. Now, you may have the same problems as I have. No doubt you have. In fact, I know you have. Because I live among you. And you're just like me. You tend to look at your brother, or you look at your sister, what they're doing or not doing. And that becomes the guide for what you do or don't do. Oh, if we can take our eyes off our fellow brother and sister, get our eyes fixed on that lovely man of Calvary. Remember this? That as we move in service for him, his promise is, lo, I am with you. Lo, I am with you. You know, there are some services that we don't like doing. And I'll tell you this, I haven't met many preachers. Now, here's an encouragement for you. You may not think it's meant to be. I haven't met many preachers who like going around towns knocking doors. But I know many who do it. And they love when they find an open door and they get in and they find a responsive ear. But there's hard work, there's many difficulties, there's rebuffs as you go from door to door. But you're not alone, because the Lord says, I am with you. I can remember well, and I've given out tracts and all kinds of gospel literature ever since I was a young man. I can remember well in Ireland we decided to go into the Roman Catholic area. A difficult area. If you've ever worked with Irish Roman Catholics, you will know what I'm talking about. Absolutely biased against the gospel. And I got literally chased down the path at the first home, and I was ready to go back to Enniskillen. But I left it with the Lord. In fact, I think I almost laid a charge before the Lord. If the next house is like this, I'm home. Well, it wasn't. I was in the door and I was sitting down. I got a good reception. Lo, I am with you. Lo, I am with you. We're starting gospel meetings the end of May, God willing, in Winnipeg. It's not the preacher's meetings. It's not the elder's meetings. It's the responsibility of every member of the local assembly to work actively with respect to the gospel meetings. But remember this, as you talk to your neighbor, your friends, your workmates, as you talk to strangers, as you try to encourage them in relation to the gospel, the Lord says, I am with you. John chapter 2, please. This is one I love. Verse 1. On the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the wedding. The Lord Jesus, by his presence, has put his imprimatur, as it were, has put his seal of approval on marriage. What a lovely thing for the Lord Jesus to be at your wedding. There's a lot of young people here. Some of you may be anticipating marriage within the next few years. Some of you may be engaged in a courtship that you trust will result in marriage. Can I advise you on the authority of the Word of God? Don't go through with the marriage if the Lord won't be at the wedding. Is that clear now? I could go into details on this. It's not my exercise. Don't go through with the marriage if the Lord won't be at the wedding. I know what I'm talking about. My sister married an unsaved man. He's in hell tonight. And he lived with a Christian. And died and went to hell. She's away from God. And I know many other young sisters. No doubt you do too. Who have married unsafe partners. Some, their partners were touched by God and were saved. Others are leading a terrible life, a divided home, a divided love, a ruined life, because the Lord wasn't at their wedding. But oh, the joy of knowing the divine sanction on your wedding. It's become the custom in the world not to have a wedding, not to have a marriage ceremony. That's not God's way. It never has been. It is a violation of divine principles, and it is sin before God. It's a tragedy when we see the moral state of the world. As we begin our life with Christ in our marriage, let us see that in our lives, as man and wife together, that we move with Christ in our home. Psalm 23, please. As I said, these are just short exercises just to illustrate the point of the presence of the Lord. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. The lovely picture, the shepherd's son. Here we have the sheep with the shepherd walking before them. As they go through the dark valley, steep hills on either side, so steep that almost the sun cannot enter in. Danger lurking, as it were, on every hand. But the comfort of the sheep is in the shepherd, for he's the one who's leading them through the valley. He's the one who's taking them on this course. They'll fear no evil. For you see, when you're moving in the Lord's directing, you can fear no evil. Because the Lord will never bring you into evil. The Lord will never tempt you with evil. The days of difficulty with evil come when we stray out of the path of God's leading, of God's directing. In your life, there will be many valleys of the shadow of death. There will be many dark scenes you'll be called upon to pass through. But if you're moving in the path of God's leading, you can say like the psalmist here, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, for thou art with me. When everyone forsook Paul, he could say that the Lord stood by him. The Lord stood by him. In days of darkness, that dear man, it seemed that on every hand he was being beset on every possible way. And he felt all alone. So he took his eyes from earth and looked towards heaven. The Lord was with him. You're going to find that as you seek to please the Lord in your Christian service, you'll find there's some dark valleys you'll have to go through. You might not be understood by your friends. You might be forsaken by them. You know, peer pressure is a tremendous thing. And there's a going to please the Lord. Even you'll find associates in the assembly, other younger brethren and sisters, sometimes older,
they'll turn their back on you. You'll find you're lonely. You'll find there's cliffs all around that you feel you can't climb. You'll wonder what's going to hit you next. Till you get your eye on the man on the road ahead. And you can say from your heart, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Mark chapter 4, please. I have another of a few others. I won't touch them. I will finish up with this one because time is gone. Verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. The wind ceased. There was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? The disciples are going to pass over on the lake to the other side. The Lord is in the ship with them. But to all intents and purposes, he's inactive. There is no evident outward sign of any activity on the part of the Lord. And suddenly, outward dangers and difficulties beset them. Now they know the Lord is with them. But he is not demonstrating any activity. He's sleeping in the hinder part of the ship. You know, the Lord does that in our life sometimes. He brings us or allows us to go into a circumstance where the waves will beat and they'll beat over the ship. We're actually doing that here. Mountainous waves, and that's frightening. Little ship, big waves, strong wind, howling gale. These were men of the sea. They were intelligent men of the sea. They knew the dangerous situation they were in. They were well aware how easy it would be for the boat to be swamped and their lives to be lost. Naturally speaking, their hearts were filled with fear. Have you been there? Have you been there? You're brought into these situations in life. The storms are beating. It's not evil. It's just the storms are beating. The pressures are coming upon you. Sometimes you feel as if the lid's going to blow off. And you forget the Lord is there. Says Peter, casting all your anxieties upon him, for he careth for you. Says Paul, in everything by prayer and supplication make your requests known unto the Lord, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 43, we're told of the water, and we're told of the fire. When you pass through the water, it won't overflow you. And when you pass through the fire, it won't burn you. For I am with thee. Child of God, I want you to go home with this wondrous promise from the risen Lord himself. That in your Christian life and activity and the variety of circumstances that come into your life, they're all different. I've never walked in your shoes. I've never lain on the operating table with my body split open with the surgeon's knife.
I've had the experience of losing my father and my mother. There are problems in raising children that are maybe common to many families with teenagers today. There are difficulties in assembly life that are maybe common to many assemblies today. There are so many of us have so many different things in our lives that seem like storms that are beating on our little ship. Let's trust in the Lord, for He is there. He may seem inactive to our minds, but He knows what's going on. Why are we fearful? Why are we afraid? Because we forget the Lord is there. Might we be encouraged this afternoon with the name of this city, yet to be future, Jehovah Shammah, and apply in our own lives this great truth that the Lord is there.